All right, what else did you name? What other disorders came to mind when you heard that whole issue of sleep disorders? Okay, we talked about sleep apnea. I imagine quite a few of you mentioned this one, narcolepsy. Tell you the truth, that's the first disorder that I heard about. I think probably in high school. I heard about narcolepsy in high school or elementary school, but I think high school. I didn't hear about sleep apnea until many years later. And then as it would happen, I just began to hear about and read about sleep apnea more often than narcolepsy. But narcolepsy is still on the scene. And people who routinely get a good night's sleep but still can't stay awake throughout the day could also have narcolepsy. Can you imagine that? Routinely getting a good night's sleep but still can't stay awake throughout the day. This condition is caused by the lack of a brain chemical called hypocretin, and it regulates sleep cycles and keeps us alert. People who have narcolepsy also tend to fall asleep unexpectedly throughout the day, and they may actually experience hallucinations. While there's no cure, medication can improve the symptoms so that people with narcolepsy feel less drowsy. So again, this isn't about laziness or attitude or anything like that. Again, there's a lack of that important brain chemical, hypocretin. Isn't it amazing how amazing the body is? One chemical, one specific chemical that helps us be alert during the day when we've gotten enough sleep at night. Okay, how about this one? Excessive daytime sleepiness. Okay, so again, we're asking the question, if a person is often exhausted, what might be going on? Excessive daytime sleepiness. If your doctor rules out sleep apnea, narcolepsy, and other factors that could cause exhaustion, such as mental disorders or certain medications, because certain medications can wear you out. They can make you tired, very tired. And by the way, just to inject this as well, please know that certain medications may be okay as far as how they impact your energy level, unless you go outside and you're in the sun. Because some medications actually interact with direct sunlight. And you can really feel drained. I mean, drained. If you're taking these medications and you're out in direct sunlight for any length of time, I say any length of time, probably 5 minutes won't do it, but 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 60 minutes, yeah, you'll probably start to feel it. One recommendation is to drink fresh squeezed lemonade or a sports drink like Gatorade, because what's happening is the sun's rays are actually depleting your body of some of its electrolytes, and those electrolytes need to be replaced. And so in cases like that, it's really not enough to drink only water. Water is critical for our well-being, but our body also needs electrolytes. And so if your body has some of its electrolytes pulled right out of it by the direct sunlight, you need to replace them. So keep that in mind. And again, that's something that you can definitely be encouraged to discuss with your doctor. Certain medications can cause exhaustion. But here's the thing, this is something else to consider. Your doctor may consider a diagnosis of excessive daytime sleepiness. This is an actual disorder, excessive daytime sleepiness. The best way to address that disorder is to look for its underlying cause, which may mean adjusting your sleep schedule or changing your bedroom environment, even learning some stress management techniques. Your doctor may also suggest that you take naps throughout the day when possible, avoid alcohol, and consider changing any prescriptions that trigger drowsiness. Again, you're talking with your doctor about this. You're not just taking it upon yourself to make these changes, there are definitely things that we can do that helps us take matters in our own hands, and we're done. We're good to go. But sometimes we definitely need to be talking with our doctor, especially if there's something medical going on. On the other hand, certain medications can be helpful. Your doctor may actually prescribe medication that works by changing the action of chemicals in your brain, or other medication that acts as a stimulant to help you feel more alert. Before starting any medication, make sure your doctor has a complete picture of your health so that together you can make the best decision. I really like that whole idea of you and your doctor making the decisions together. I know that some of you have heard about family-centered, patient-centered healthcare. And this is just a concept that's been around for a number of years now. If I'm not mistaken, it was actually started at the Medical College of Georgia. And other hospital executives and physicians began to hear about this concept and asked some of the people at the Medical College of Georgia, particularly some of those who were instrumental in getting this concept off the ground at the Medical College of Georgia, to come train their staff, their faculty, on how to apply, how to build, and then implement a patient-centered, family-centered care program. And basically what you're doing is, you know, the physicians are acknowledging that although they are the experts in medical care, the patient and or the family are the experts in what's going on with the patient while at home. They're able to observe things that the medical staff cannot observe when the patient's at home, because the medical staff is not at their home. And so one of the things that they began to find out is that they could get better results when they include, let's just say, if the patient is a 5-year-old child or a 4-year-old child, definitely parents are involved in the discussion. A 9-year-old child, that 9-year-old and that 9-year-old's parents are all involved in the discussion. 25-year-old patient, that 25-year-old is talking with the medical staff so that the medical staff can get a better understanding of what's going on that they just don't have any way of knowing about unless the patient and or patient's family members tell them. That is often ended up in helping the medical staff make some better decisions as to how to move forward with regards to treatment. And as a result, outcomes have often been much improved. And so when they start talking about this whole issue of you talking with your doctor so that together you can make the best decision, they mean that. That is for real. That is a serious thing. And so, you know, you have questions, for example, about your medications, ask. You have an idea about something that you'd like to try, bring it up. And your doctor should be able to let you know whether or not that is a viable option. Together, you're talking together. You're working this out together. And listen, it is your body, your health, your well-being. You have a right, and in a very real way, a responsibility to participate in the discussion. And you may want to approach it by letting the doctor know that, hey, you know, I really appreciate your wisdom, your insights, your expertise. I was wondering if it would be okay if I just shared some ideas that I have and asked some questions that come up from time to time so that we just, you know, discuss together what's going on with my health and what might be the best way forward. A lot of doctors won't be offended by that. And I think that, you know, just like you have a lot of people going into the dealership armed with more information than people had 30, 40 years ago about that car buying experience in that particular car, more and more people are going into the doctor's office armed with more information than they did 40, 50, 60 years ago. And so that's the way it's working now. And so That's something that a lot of physicians are adjusting to, and many are actually embracing. Be back in a few.